Before I begin, I just want to say about this passage is there are many stories within these stories, and it would help us sometimes to take each one of these lines, as we do in Bible study, apart piece by piece. I think it helps us understand them better. But a sermon is not Bible study. May these words be to God's glory. It seems to me that sometimes it takes a while for convention to catch up to necessity. Sometimes we confuse rumor and gossip with reality or truth. Then, if we're lucky, someone in authority, like a pope or a judge or a president or Jesus, sets us straight, sets us right again. And we learn something new, and we continue on in a forward path. We continue on with new eyes and new ears because we have learned something new. And hopefully, we have a better understanding of what is possible for us and others. In our scripture reading this morning about extravagance, there is much confusion as to whether the woman who poured the nard, which is the perfumed oil, is really Mary Magdala. Many people say it is. Some people say it is yet a different woman. I'm going to presume it is Mary Magdala. So we see Mary pouring nard. It's a perfumed oil that is so expensive, it could have fed all those people in their community that day. So she's preparing this very alive Jesus for burial. She is an embarrassment to the disciples. She is an embarrassment to everyone except Jesus. Maybe for Mary of Magdala, Jesus was the first person who didn't believe the rumors about her, the gossip about her, or who saw her shortcomings and loved her anyway. Maybe Jesus was the only one to look in her eyes and see, not a broken person, but a believer, a disciple, the apostle of the apostles. Mary was grief-stricken at the fact that Jesus would be killed and taken from her. And she was doing all she had in her power to do, and this was the only thing she could think of to somehow make it better for him. If I could have had the opportunity to clean Jesus' feet, I too would have spent all that money on precious nard to prepare Jesus for what was to come, for the ordeal ahead. The time was wrong, but the availability to show her discipleship and her devotion was right now, not later. So she jumped at the chance, and she did it. I would anoint him the best I could. I think I would if I were you, and I were her, and maybe so would you. At that point in the story, it wasn't so much about how the precious oil was so expensive, but about the complete grief at the fact that Jesus would be gone. And Mary, again, would be at the hands of others who believed the malicious gossip that was told about her. No one would see her for who she was. There are two events in the news this week that uncomfortably fit our scripture story this morning. The first is about a woman raped who had the audacity to speak out. And the other is about a boxer eulogized by president, rabbi, comedian, family, and a bevy of teenagers. A year ago, an unconscious woman was raped behind a dumpster by a stranger. Then she was rescued by two men just riding by on a bicycle. That is the only reason the perpetrator was caught and prosecuted. Somebody jumped in and helped, like Jesus would do. The verdict was read this week, and it caused a firestorm of discontent and injustice. This young man had his whole life in front of him. He was a swimmer. He went to Stanford. He was white. He got 6 months. Other people who happened to be black would get 3 years or more. Injustice. At the end of the trial, with the permission of the judge, the woman who had been defiled defied convention, exposing herself even more as she spoke to her attacker in the courtroom with the permission of the judge. This woman will always be a woman who was sexually violated, and this man will always be a sexual offender. Two lives ruined, one to another. And normally it would be just left at that, a small blurb in the news for us to try and ignore because it makes us so uncomfortable. None of us would have had familiar details, except she read the letter. She read the letter and had the opportunity to describe what had happened to her as a result of his actions. She asked the judge if she could read it aloud. She looked at her abuser and read her letter to him. The actions of this woman, assaulted, speaking out against her abuser, are like the actions of Mary Magdalene washing Jesus' feet. They exemplify courage of one person that has the potential to change how all of us around her perceive the ability to stand up and be powerful in our own lives. The choice to act out and act up depends on whether we choose to remain a victim or we move forward into the light as we struggle to find a way. We, like so many of us before us, we too can be like Jesus, who has taught us to stand up to power, to speak out against injustice. But this is never easy. We too can be vilified, like Mary of Magdala, for centuries, until somehow someone helps us see the light of day. There are many people who speak up for what is right. Some of them are here in this room, maybe all of you. It too can be a painful time to speak out when you're saying something no one likes to hear. But down the line, the actions of you, Mary Magdala, the woman raped, the boxer originally named Cassius Clay, you or me, we can change the lives of others. At Muhammad Ali's memorial, there were a good number of speeches from people who emphasized how the boxer had changed their lives and how he had lived his. Now, of course, he's known as Muhammad Ali. He is the celebrated, outspoken, triple heavyweight champion of the world. But that was only an ancillary tick against his name of who he was. Soon, as you listened more and more to the speeches, you could see that he was lots more than just a boxer. Many spoke about his wisdom, his humanity, his teachings, his humor, his journey, his spirituality, and his courage to stand up against hate and discrimination. One speech especially stood out for me. It was a woman who was inspired by Muhammad Ali through a textbook in school. She was 8 years old. She was being bullied by people in her classroom. She was called a terrorist because she was of Middle Eastern descent, born in America. Natasha Munkar's entire speech is worth listening to. But when she first quoted Ali, I was pulled into her words. She was teary and crying through most of it. Then she said something that I must have heard before, but it was brand new to me. She said that Muhammad Ali, with his fists raised in the sky, in the rain, saying, I am the disturbance in the sea of your complacency. I am the disturbance in the sea of your complacency, and I will never stop shaking your waves. I was caught off guard. I was moved to tears. This young woman continued saying, because of Muhammad Ali's example, I, speaking of Natasha, went to fight back, to change my life, to stand up against those persecuting me. She goes on to say, we are to find strength in our identities, whether we are black, white, Asian, Latino, Latina, disabled, or able-bodied, LGBT, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, or Christian. That is what it means to defeat the impossible. Because the impossible, she says, is not fact. The impossible is an opinion. Impossible is nothing. Unquote. Natasha Mundker. At that, I thought of Jesus. I thought of Mary Magdalene and you and me, of everyone who struggles in their lives. I thought about those times we thought that it was impossible to achieve our goals, stymied by someone or something else that implied that who we are is irrelevant and what we want is impossible. Scripture is full of people saying yes to God and no to the impossible. There's example after example of how to not do the expedient thing or the safe thing or the careful thing or even the perfect thing, but the thing that we can do in spite of the obstacles in front of us. Mary Magdalene must have been one amazing person to have fought the odds, to do what no one else dared, to believe Jesus when he said he would be killed, to not have her blinders on to think that this was not going to happen, to prepare Jesus for burial while he was alive. And this woman who spoke to her attacker in court, speaking her truth to the one who hurt her, and all these wonderful people talking about a fighter who did much more for humanity than knock out people in a boxing ring. These examples give us hope and teach us we have great things inside us to accomplish despite the odds. These are just ordinary people, except for Jesus. They're ordinary people, people who will not take the impossible as an answer. People who will stand up their best for what is right. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do, regardless of race, religion, ability, sexual orientation, or economic status. We are to stand up for what is right. Take our punishment if we must, and get back up. Start all over again. We are, I admit, and should be cautioned to be smart about standing up, to do our best to protect others and ourselves, to ask for help from professionals who know a lot more about some things than we do, but to keep on keeping on. Sometimes it's very expensive to stand up for what is right. Sometimes it feels as if things we need to do are things to protect us against others. And that may be the case. But then we need to find a way to be with those others in a safe and careful, honorable way. It's very expensive sometimes. Sometimes you're going to lose your job for standing up for what is right. Maybe you're going to lose your reputation. Maybe you're going to lose your financial security. And maybe if we think about it, we'll tell ourselves that our dreams and our goals are impossible. Who did we think we were? Oh, what did she say? This young woman who read this in a eulogy was 19 years old. She could possibly not have lived life like we have. What did she say? She said, impossible is an artificial construct dreamed up by naysayers. Impossible, she said, is nothing. For again, the words of Natasha Moncur, impossible is nothing. And now speaking of impossible, I think this is kind of a non sequitur to the sermon, but a friend of mine sent it to me when he knew I was preaching about Mary Magdalene, and he wanted me to see some little actions from the Pope in Rome. The Pope in Rome has decided that Mary Magdala, who has been maligned for centuries, is now being officially recognized as the Apostolarum Apostola, the Apostle of the Apostles. Big deal in the Catholic Church. Of course, we always thought she was pretty cool. She's the first one out of the tomb. She's the first one who believes Jesus. She's the first one who does a lot of things. The Apostle of the Apostles. And now the big cheeses have said that she really is that. It's been centuries since she was recognized. Centuries. This may be the beginning of allowing women to be ordained in the Catholic Church. For if they think saying something like this is going to keep those women on a bus quiet, I can tell you that's not going to happen. Of recognizing that all of us, men, women, children, are created by God. And we all have the ability to preach and teach and be leaders. Leaders that speak out for justice. Many thought we couldn't have accomplished things that we did. We look back and wonder, how did that happen? How did I, a little folk singer, become a minister? Many thought our lives were impossible. And, you know, if Mary can wait for centuries, I just hope we don't have to wait for centuries for recognition and acceptance. But if you remember nothing else of today, please remember that the concept of impossible is nothing. We know all things are possible in Christ. Christ is the one who whispers in our ear. Whispers, right? I want you to hear this in your ear. For you, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen and amen.